The cover of the bulletin, the front cover and the back page, kind of our backdrop against which I'd like to speak today and use this reading. The cartoon suggests that something tells me the party is over, tells us basically, you know, that we have this idea of God, that when it comes to God, all the fun is gone, you know. And no matter what we do, we're wrong. So I thought that was appropriate. And on the front, you have this beautiful picture of some children that are worshiping. And I saw that and I said, well, basically, here's this young boy and these kids saying, you know, here I am, which is what we try to, or at least try to aspire to as people today, trying to be people of the church and people who are faithful to the gospel we propose to hear. But now the reading. The reading from Exodus is a very familiar passage, but I also want to point out something here in about the fourth or fifth line. There is here in the scriptures that go back to the 1000 BC, there's here a biblical precedent for men wearing earrings. I just want you to know that. That's in here. You'll hear it. But just pay attention to it. You see how far we've come. I have a story about men wearing earrings. Here's the reading. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Come, make gods for us, who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." So Aaron said to them, "Take off the gold rings that are on the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." And so all the people took off the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he took the gold from them, formed in a mold, and cast an image of a calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar for it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be festival to the Lord." They rose early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought sacrifices of well-being. And the people ate, sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to revel. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt.'" The Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone, so that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them. And of you I will make a great nation." But Moses implored the Lord, his God, and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians be able to say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce wrath, change your mind, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, 'I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised, I will give to you and to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.' And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he had planned to bring on his people." The word of the Lord. There are multi-layers in that reading, including the very last part that indicates that from the time in the 900s, you know, 1000 BC, the land was set aside to become a burden and a battleground between the Palestinians and the Israelis. It was all set in motion way back then because they owned the land given to them by God. Anyway, I divert. Why did I choose this reading? Well, it seems to me this is Laity Sunday. And against that backdrop, I read this reading and I thought, you know, Moses was very much a precursor of each one of us, the forerunner, so to speak. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen yourself as somehow being between God and the mass of humanity of the world. But Moses here is standing on a very, very treacherous place between the God who has given commands and the God that these people have sought their whole lives and now is responding to their call, and the people who have heard that call and decided they want to go a different way. And Moses is in that very difficult position because if he turns to God and does what God wants, he watches all those people that he just saved, brought out of Egypt in the name of God, be destroyed. On the other hand, if he goes with the people, he's turning himself away from the wishes of God. Now, have you ever found yourself in that position? Not necessarily with the crowds, but maybe with another person. Found yourself in a position where perhaps your conscience was telling you this is really the way you should go. But then on the other hand, the pressure to be over here and to find acceptance or validate the person who is asking you for that is really paramount. If you're like me, you've been there lots of times. Sometimes over simple things, sometimes over weightier things. If we think about the importance that we have in the world, it can really be mind-blowing. A lot of people say to me over my career, you know, they come up after a sermon or after going through a funeral or a wedding or some kind of event, somebody inevitably will come up and say, you know, that just changed my life. What you said really turned the corner for me. And when they tell me what they heard, I never said that. They heard what they needed to hear. And if I was probably a part of that moment, you begin to understand that there's an awful lot that we do in our lives that really has nothing to do with us, that has a lot to do with who we say God is. Now, have you ever thought about it from a different perspective? You look at somebody like me, and you can say all kinds of things about me, to me, etc., etc. You may look at other people and do the very same thing. She's a wonderful person. He's just an incredible man. So sensitive, so compassionate, so giving, so dedicated, always there whenever you need somebody. In fact, behind the scenes does more than anybody else that I know. And on and on and on and on. And we are perfectly justified in doing that. I can stand here today and tell you how important you are in my life. But I've already told you that many times. But I'll tell you again, you're a very important part of my life because of who you are. Not so much because of what you do, but who you are and who I see you are together. Have you ever looked at yourself from other people's point of view and see yourself over here by yourself and everybody else in the world around you over here? And listen to what they're saying about you. They're saying something. Now, depending on how you see yourself, you may be hearing them saying negative things. Or you may think somehow that they don't approve, or somehow you're falling short. But did you ever posit that perhaps they're saying wonderful things about you? Yeah, you. Not because of what you do, not only because they have to or because you're there, but because in their own way they're saying, you know, my life is better because of you. I'm a better person because of the way you've shown me to care, to be compassionate, to be open-minded, to understand, to take a chance, to maybe stretch yourself a little bit, to maybe encourage me to move beyond where I am. If you're like me and we have a God like the one on the back page that is taking away all the fun of life and making sure that we are all miserable, that's probably what you think. And if you never hear anybody say how wonderful you are, you might think maybe you're not. But I dare say, with all certainty, that what you can see in other people, what you can applaud in other people, what you validate in other people, the eyes through which you see the world around you are the eyes through which people see you. And so indeed, like Moses, you and I stand, whether we want to or not, between God, who somehow speaks to us, each of us in our own way, between God, who gave us purpose, and we believe and spirits us to be the best persons we can be. You stand with me alone between God and the rest of the world. The rest of the world may be limited to the town of Bethlehem. The rest of the world may be this church. The rest of the world could be somewhere in the state of Connecticut. Or it could be really the rest of the world. Because the little bit that you do, the little bit that you are, that affects the world that you touch, does indeed travel the world. And though nobody may ever know your name, and the only place it will be written in marble will be on your tombstone, it does matter that you are here. It does matter to the life and the well-being of the world that you are yourself, who you are. That you have learned the wisdom of being who you are instead of fulfilling some kind of role that people expect you to live. That you are truly humble, which means that you recognize the truth of who you are. And in everything that you say and do, that's who you reveal yourself to be. And I can say there is nobody sitting here right now that the world doesn't look at and hasn't experienced in some way, through some eyes, through some hands, through some experience, that recognizes you as one of God's gifts. unfortunately, most of those kind of thoughts are relegated to Hallmark cards, usually sympathy cards. Or if you're into the special loving cards, those relationship cards that are 4 pages long. But the truth is short and simple. And no less powerful, brothers and sisters, than Moses standing between God and the rabble below. If I can extend that metaphor just a bit. As Moses stood between God and truth and the chaos of his world, we too stand between God and the chaos of our world. And it's multifaceted, it's multicultural, it's multi-ethnic, it's multi-religious, it's multi-people. And you and I stand between the two. And the call from God is the same. Be you. Be your best self. And the world will recognize who you really are. And there's no greater truth or blessing than that. So thank you. Thank you from the depths of my being for you people. Being who you are every day, being the people of God. Thank you. Amen. You know, God, sometimes I wish that you would just descend upon our gathering and scoop us all up together so that we understand once and for all that each one of us is a representation of you in the world, that each one of us is greater than all the summaries of our truths, our faults, our joys, our concerns, our actions, our depressions, and all the failures of our existence, that we are indeed an act of love with the freedom to walk this earth and to touch the world with love. Sometimes I wish that you would swallow in the whole globe and heal its brokenness and take away all the divisions and help us truly to see each other around this earth as brothers and sisters with the same desires, the same needs, the same basic want for life and for freedom and for peace. I wish sometimes that you would journey to every home and invite everyone there to learn forgiveness and patience and understanding so that every home would truly be a family of diverse individuals who are bound together in a love that goes beyond all the details of living. Sometimes I wish that you would envelop this earth with a real sense of peace so that, ideally, your peace would blanket the earth in such a way that there would be no hatred, no war, no killing, no diseases, all those things that we write in Revelation about the coming of your kingdom. Jesus taught us to pray that the kingdom would come on this earth in our time. And that is what we pray. It would be so easy and so wonderfully freeing were it to be true. But in the meantime, you ask us never to lose sight of the good person that you created us to be, and to be that person, whatever circumstance may come our way, especially as we face our world. because we have this great desire, we know it is your desire as well. We call it your will, that your kingdom be here on earth. We join our voices together with all of your creation and all of its diversity and all of its differences and all the billions of unique individuals that populate this earth, with all the cultural, religious, and ethnic differences, with all the things that tend to separate us, we cry from this one place, and in one voice we call you God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.